This is the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. So when is a dollar of pay not exactly a dollar? It's when you're a woman working in Miami-Dade County, according to a new report out this week from FIU's Metropolitan Center. It finds that women in Miami-Dade earn 87 cents for every dollar men earn. Now, that gender pay gap is actually better than the national gap, which is 79 cents for women for every dollar men earn nationwide. And the gap has been narrowing over the past half generation here in Miami-Dade. Still, at the same time, the poverty rate for women locally has increased. Here's Miami-Dade County Commissioner Daniela Levine-Cava, who sponsored legislation asking for the report.
So it's really critical with so many female-headed households, particularly, that we proceed to do the best we can to increase the salaries, the earnings, the wealth of women, because it's having such an impact on the overall standard of living.
The pay gap and poverty rates are just two of the data points in this new report out this week examining the status of women in Miami-Dade County. This is where we begin the Florida Roundup this week, a pay gap and a gender pay gap in Miami-Dade County. So what's your experience, especially as a working woman? What professions tend to have equal pay for equal work? Which ones don't? And is there a public policy answer to any of this? Let us know here on the Florida Roundup. Phone lines are open right now, 800-743-WLRN. Join us on the telephone at 800-743-9576. On social media as well, look for us on Twitter at WLRN or on Facebook. Dr. Maria Ilcheva is the senior researcher at Florida International University's Metropolitan Center, the author of the report. She is with us now. Doctor, what's the total sum? What's the big conclusion of the state of women in Miami-Dade County after looking at the research?
First of all, thank you for having me, Tom. And I would like to thank Commissioner Cover for her leadership and the Commission on Women, which stands behind this report and is issuing recommendations as a continuation of the discussion, as a call for action. The big takeaway from this report is that in addition to what you mentioned as the smaller pay gap between genders in Miami-Dade County as compared to the nation, we also see positive developments. Over time, that gap is narrowing, and there are a lot of opportunities to continue to erase that gap, to remove that gap in the future, especially as we look at the entrepreneurial activity in our county. That activity among women far outpaces the activity among men, as we see with the tremendous increase of women-owned firms. And that's where the opportunities lies. As we all know, most of our employment, most of our economy nationally and in Miami-Dade County is based on small business employment.
And job growth is really driven by new business creation, as a matter of fact. But I want to ask you about the pay gap. As it is narrower here in Miami-Dade County compared to the nation, were you able to figure out why that is?
Well, the biggest explanation is, and that's not part of our report, but we try to put it in the context of national economic policies and specifically the pay gaps. We notice that generally in states and in counties or metropolitan areas in which incomes are lower, the gaps are also lower.
So the total high end of the income is lower, so thus the gap itself is going to be narrower.
That's right. Florida is among the states in which kind of middle ground. Mm-hmm. We are neither the lowest gap nor the highest, but the states where the gap is highest are states like Louisiana, Alabama, Missouri, just to mention a few, and these tend to have lower incomes generally.
Dr. Maria Ilcheva with Florida International University, the author of the report, The State of Women in Miami-Dade County, is along with us. She called it a call for action. So let's talk about public policy here. Senator Oscar Brainin is along with us, representing the 35th Senate District in the Florida State Senate. Senator Brainin is the leader of the Democrats in Tallahassee for this upcoming session. You have identified income gender gap as a key issue. What's your takeaway from this report?
Well, when I read the report, there were a few things that stood out to me. First of all, one of the things, we have a large minority population here. And one of the things in the report was how some of those minorities are doing worse off than the average number. So it struck me as it's bad. If you are a Hispanic, or a non-Hispanic white female, you are doing much better than a Hispanic female, a African-American female. And, you know, it's almost as if, you know, they're doing bad, but they're doing even worse.
Yeah.
And so on policy wise, I think that we have to look at some of the overall picture. We talk about that income equality just in general, right? That people on the low end are doing much worse than those on the high end. And the first thing we pushed for was an increase in the minimum wage, which mm-hmm. we have been pushing for a long time, and which is basically saying that people need to be paid for what they do. A lot of the jobs that have been brought in by the governor, because he's a jobs governor, and I put up air quotes just now so you know that I said that he's the jobs governor. A lot of these were some of these low-paying jobs, and I think that we need to start looking at how can we attract higher-paying jobs just overall.
The Florida state minimum wage does go up. It goes up
yes.
automatically based upon a calculation of inflation and will go up again in January. Dr. Ilcheva, let me ask you, though, as the senator identified, even beyond the headline number of that pay gap, when you look at minority women in South Florida, what's the state of black women? What's the state of Hispanic women? The state of non-Hispanic white women? How are those three compared to one another?
We do have these comparisons in the report, and as the senator mentioned, the gaps there are extremely striking. Hispanic and black women earn 63 cents to the dollar of white women. Again, Hispanic and the incomes of Hispanic and black residents in general are lower than white mm-hmm. non-Hispanic residents.
So we've got a gender pay gap issue and a racial gender pay gap issue as well.
That's right. And the interesting thing is that the largest pay gap is when we compare male and female white non-Hispanics. That's where the gaps are the largest.
Male, and what do you find there?
The gap is about 46%. So white males, white non-Hispanic males earn about 50% more than white non-Hispanic females.
Wow. What's your experience with pay in South Florida? Do you get paid what you're worth, do you think? Equal pay for equal work. Join the conversation here on the Florida Roundup from Key West up to the Palm Beaches. 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. Is there a public policy prescription that could address this, or is this free market enterprise at a free market for labor, and that's what it is? On Twitter, at WLRN, look for us on Facebook as well. Senator Oscar Brainin is along with us, head of the Florida Democrats in the Florida Senate. The Florida Democrats have identified pay gap, gender issues, as a key issue for this upcoming legislative session. Senator, there is a state law in Florida that I'm sure you're aware of that wage rate discrimination based upon sex is prohibited.
Yes.
Does it go far enough?
that's the beginning, right? But one of the things that I read in the report was that what ends up happening is a woman may start off at a lower rate wage than what the average male starts off at. And so it's not as if, you know, we're saying that we're paying them continuously, you know, I hired this person, I hired that person. They're starting off at a lower rate. And those are the type of things that we really have to work on. And then it talked about us move, that they're not getting promoted, you know, and then you start making excuses. Well, you know, she couldn't come in on time because she had to take her kids to school. And that was another thing that was pointed out. Many single mothers who are head of household are struggling because they're making less than, you know, a two family household with a male head of household. And, you know, I think that these are some of the things. So it goes into a broader picture. Well, what about childcare, right? Mm-hmm. Are we as a state doing what we're supposed to do to help for childcare? Today is our public transit day, right? Are we as the state, as the government, doing what we can for public transit to make sure that these low-wage workers have an easy way to get to school? I think there's a broader picture, and what we're seeing in these wages is the effects of things that we've neglected for a long time.
Doctor, I'm curious what you think about what the senator mentioned there in terms of kind of public services and social services, which get to the cost side of a kind of a household budget in terms or the money that even a low-income wage earner would have to dole out for childcare or for transit. It doesn't necessarily get to the income side, the incoming money, but it gets to the total amount of money that may be left over. Is that an appropriate way to begin to address some of these issues?
Well, that's part of the bigger discussion about why are women getting paid less, and the explanation has been, yes, women take more time off from work to take care of their children or family in general, and they make career choices that preclude them from growing as fast as they can with men. So having affordable childcare, having those support systems that would allow them to grow in their careers and to make career choices that will allow them to have higher earnings is an extremely important part of erasing the pay gap.
I want to ask you about education attainment, because you addressed this in the issue in the report as well. What were your findings in regards to the connection between the education attainment of women in Miami-Dade County, which is what you looked at, and earnings? We know nationwide that the unemployment rate, the higher the education level, the lower the unemployment rate. The higher the education level, the higher the annual income.
In terms of both unemployment and educational attainment, there are no significant differences between men and women. What's the significant differences come when we look at when we compare apples to apples, so to speak, when we compare women with the same level of education to men with a similar level of education, there is a very significant gap there. So women, even though they may have bachelor's, master's, or higher degrees, they still earn less than men in comparable degrees. The big difference is the types of degrees that women pursue. And again, that's at the national level that's been explored and has been explained as one of the main predictors of a future earning potential. Fewer women go into the engineering, science, you know, the so-called STEM degrees than men, or business. That's changing, but very gradually. So if we continue at the same pace, it will take us decades before we catch up in earnings to men.
Senator Brennan?
Yeah, she touched on a very important point here, and it's, again, another one of those policy things that we debate up there.
Up
there being Tallahassee, yeah. Yes. how much are we paying our teachers, right? One of the number one or number two, I couldn't remember which one it was the education field, where they are dominated. It's dominated by women. The percentages are lopsided. And if we are not, are we paying them enough? If someone goes in and gets an education degree and they come out and they don't make as much as somebody that went in and got a business administration degree, teachers are important to us. Sure. Our education field is important to us.
You're talking to the son of two public school teachers back in the day, so I completely understand that. Married one of those as well. But doctor, in the research, you looked at industries and where the pay gap is narrower locally and where the pay gap is wider. We know the Miami-Dade County economy is driven by the service sector, and the service sector is driven by the hospitality sector, which is known for low wage. But beyond that, you also looked at education. You looked at government, where there was also a significant difference in pay gap, a place where presumably is driven by very specific government policy about equal pay and equal work.
Yes, we looked at the various occupations, and the gap exists across all occupations with the exception of one. Administrative and support occupations is the only category in which women earn about 3% more than men.
What kind of jobs are those? What does that mean, administrative
those are
and support?
Secretarial jobs. Yeah. They can vary, actually. You can start with an administrative assistant, executive secretary, or they can be a director, an administrative director. Human resource director, just to give you the higher level.
Let's hear your experience. 800-743-9576. Jeff from Fort Lauderdale has a bit of a data question here. Jeff, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. You may have touched on it, but I'm curious how you actually can really identify the differences in pay between two individuals, because, of course, different individuals have different experiences. They have different longevity in terms of various careers. They have different backgrounds in terms of what they've done prior to that. So that's one part of it. And then the other part of the question and comment that I have is, if we do do something like the $15 minimum wage across the board, are we not going to actually just increase costs on everything by raising inflation? A friend of mine said one time that if everybody likes to shop at Walmart, it's difficult to determine how you're going to increase wages in the United States. Thank you.
Jeff, we appreciate that. I want to tackle the data question first, and then we'll put the minimum wage question to the senator here. How about calculating those differences, doctor, in terms of gender at the same job, education, experience, even the soft skills can be clearly much different?
Unfortunately, the data sources that we use, these are governmental sources, the U.S. Census or the American Community Survey, they don't make those kinds of distinctions in terms of tenure or professional skills, specific skills that are required for the job. And it has to be done more at the organizational level. You're well aware of the new rule that President Obama is trying to implement for companies to start reporting on the wages they pay to women versus men, mm-hmm. minorities, etc. So if we have that kind of data, hopefully we will have information about tenure and educational level that will allow us to run statistical analysis and make these comparisons. We did attempt that at the county level with Miami-Dade County employees, but again, the data set is incomplete, so we couldn't run the statistics to account or to isolate those specific factors.
So even in that controlled population of county employees in Miami-Dade County, which presumably you had access to because this was a county commission legislation that led to the study, even that, the data isn't clean enough to be able to suss out the pay differences that can really be regarded for the same job, the same experience level, the same education level.
Yes, that's right. And hopefully with this report in hand and with the type of information that we're trying to collect with it, the county will start making those decisions to collect educational attainment information and other information that will allow us to make those conclusive those conclusions in the end, whether the gap is due to discrimination or whether it's actually due to experience and other factors.
Senator Brennan, let me ask you about the minimum wage question that the caller
yes.
asked about. We alluded to the minimum wage earlier. The minimum wage in the state of Florida is $8 and change for those jobs that don't have a tip associated mm-hmm. to it, another waitresses, bartenders, that
right.
kind of thing. And that's it is tied to an inflation gauge, so it can go up and down a little bit each year mm-hmm. based upon the inflation. Clearly well below the $15 minimum wage that we've seen in certain municipalities.
Right, right. So the $15 number came up because what they're saying is that we think that inflation passed this $8 that we're at right now. And it's gotten to about $15 because it used to be where a minimum wage job could, you could afford to live on a minimum wage. Well, things have gone up in price and you can no longer afford to live. So we're saying let's go to an amount that you can afford to live. And interestingly enough, Walmart is one of the people that already pay close to $15.
Right, right. But what about the concerns that Jeff articulated? And you hear this consistently when we talk about minimum wage, is if you raise the floor, you're going to increase the overall inflation rate, and thus you can really mute the impact of that additional income on the part of a low wage earner because they'll be paying more for everything.
Well, the counter to that is that what has happened over the past few years is that some of these corporations have made record profits. Right. And so we have an artificially low ceiling is what we're saying, is that these people are making money anyway and that we're trying to catch up to where they are. Because and the proof is in the pudding, in that you can't afford to live making $8. Mm-hmm. If you could afford to live and you could live off of $8, then we would, yes, we'd be giving them extra money and we'd be pushing it. But we think if you can't afford to live off of $8, then $8 is not enough. There's a gap somewhere, and that's what we're trying to fill.
Will you be introducing another minimum wage bill in the legislative session coming
yes,
up?
Yes, I'm sure that someone in our caucus will be.
$15? Is that the number?
$15. And I'm sure there'll be some, and I think that this really needs to start a dialogue, because right now there's been two sides. There's the corporate side and the businesses and the chamber, and then there's the people sponsoring the bill. I think there's a median, right? Like a livable wage. What is a livable wage? And that discussion has to be had, because many of these people in the corporate side are already already paying $15. So why can we not have this conversation and not demonize each other? So I'm going to be pushing for that as well.
And what about on the gender issue? Minimum wage, of course, cuts across all folks at that level. But what about, you know, when you see the gender differences that the doctor has identified, for instance, in Miami-Dade County, which is where your constituents live, what do you take with you in terms of the legislative planning session? Is this something you're going to address within state code that could go beyond the wage discrimination law that's already there?
I think we want to look at the wage discrimination law and try to put maybe some more teeth in it. I think that also some of the ancillary things, like, for instance, working on the pay for teachers. You know, when she talked about some of the fields where we have a majority of the females in the state of Florida, looking at a higher pay there, looking at more opportunities and entrepreneurial positions. We know that that's something that both sides agree on, Democrat or Republican. We want to make more opportunities for entrepreneurs to create businesses. And that's something that I think the governor would agree with, too. And if we can make more opportunities or create government programs that create more opportunities, and I think we can possibly help there too.
Dr. Ilcheva, did the FIU Metropolitan Center has looked at disparity across the county. Your particular report looked specifically at the gender issue. How do those two things come together? Do they at all come together? And what's the broader picture that it paints in terms of the economic opportunities that are provided for residents in South Florida?
We see the status of women report as part of a broader prosperity agenda and a prosperity study that we published several months ago, and it's already gaining significant support from the community. We're not talking about government, but also nonprofit and businesses who are trying to implement initiative to raise prosperity across the board. The gender pay gap is not just a women's issue, it's a community issue, because it's raising incomes will generate additional savings or additional circulation in the economy, and as such it will help businesses and households across the board.
Dr. Maria Ilcheva is a senior researcher at Florida International University's the Metropolitan Center there at FIU, the author of The State of Women in Miami-Dade County, and Senator Oscar Brainin represents the 35th District in Miami-Dade County. Thanks to both of you talking about pay and gender gap here today. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Thank
Still
you.
To come on a Florida Roundup, the Sun Sentinel investigation finding some mentally ill inmates in Broward County Jail were not protected by the private health care company paid to do it. We'll talk with the reporter and the director of the jail. They will join us next.